Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Genesis chapter 6. I'm very excited about our new series that we're about to begin over the next 8 weeks. I think it's going to be fun. I think we're going to have a good time as we're looking at these different individuals and some of the things that God did and some of the things that these people did by the power of God. And so, over the next 2 months, we're going to be looking at the lives of individuals who God called out to serve Him. Now, some we will see step out in crazy faith. Some be like, I need to take care of a few things before I follow you. And then others will need a little more encouraging, kind of like us. Now, some are like, yeah, let's do this. Others are like, I'm not so sure. And that's what we're going to see over the next few weeks as we look at the lives of these individuals. But as we look at all these lives, the one thing that we will see is that each and every one of them were transformed by the power of God as He called out to him to serve in a mighty way. So what we're going to be looking at over the next 8 weeks is the topic called out. We're going to see for 7 weeks how God called out specific individuals. And then week 8, we're going to see how God calls us out to serve Him and live for Him. And so we're going to begin today by looking at an odd call that God places on the life of one man and how he would obey. Now, there are times when God will call us to do something that just doesn't make any sense at all. Sometimes God will ask us to do things and we're like, huh? One of the times that this happened in my life that I still remember very vividly, it's the only time it's ever happened. It kind of scared me a little bit when it did happen. And now looking back, I was like, that was actually kind of cool, God. I was at work at McDonald's working. I had one of my employees beside me. And I felt the Spirit tell me, tell them that you know what they did. And I'm like, what? Why would I look at an employee and say, I know what you did? Do it. Okay. I know what you did. Of course, you can imagine what they're thinking. And then God says, tell them you know what they did Thursday night. I'm like, what? I know what you did Thursday night. And now they're really getting big-eyed. And then God revealed the exact specific sin to me and said, now tell them their sin. And so I did. And they're like, how did you know? Who told you? Nobody knows this. I was like, the Spirit just revealed it to me. And then God told me why. He said, now tell them that they need to realize that I'm real and that I love them. Amen. And I was like, okay. But God, I mean, it was weird. God revealed a specific sin and exactly when it happened. And that has not happened to me again. But at first I was like, God, you want me to do what? I was like, you want me to look at my employee that's right beside me and say, I know what you did? And because I didn't at the time when God told me to tell them I know what they did, I didn't know what they did. But as the conversation continued, God revealed what needed revealed when it needed to be revealed. And so sometimes that's how God works. Sometimes we just need to step out on faith and trust God. Thinking about that, can you imagine what Noah was thinking when God showed up and said, I want you to build a boat? And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the story of Noah building the boat. And it's kind of interesting. I was thinking, as I was working on this message, it's like, I've been preaching for a little over 10 years now, and I've never preached on Noah building a boat. So I was like, okay. So that's kind of cool. So Genesis chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 11. Word of God reads, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which the breath of life, everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And on every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, and keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of the animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of on the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it for yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Let's pray. Lord, move as only you can. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us as we go through this series that we have been called out by you. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, and that you would use us to be a people that is on fire for you. And I pray right now that I would sit down and that you would stand up, and I pray, awesome Father, that you would move in this place as only you can. Lord, we thank you. We love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. Well, the first thing that we see, is the spread of evil. It's verse 11 and 12. It says, "The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." The world had become corrupt. We live in a corrupt world that does not honor and respect God. Nothing's changed. You know, when we look at our world today, we still see people. We still see a corrupt world. We still see people who do not honor God or respect God. And we don't have to look far to find evil. You don't have to go very far to find evil. And our text helps us to see why Noah needed to build a boat. It was because the world was so bad. In verse 11 and 12, we see corrupt three times and filled with violence another time. So four times we see in two simple verses just how bad the world has become. And if you just go up a few verses, you can see even more in verse 5 of chapter 6, where it says, "And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's pretty bad. That helps us to see where the earth was. And we know that this is not the way that God intended the world to be. We know that this is not the way that God created it. God created man. God created man in his image, and God created man to rule over the earth. In Genesis 1:28, it says, "God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it.'" And so we see that part of man's role was to rule over the earth. God made everything and said that it was good. However, man came along and corrupted it by sin. Now, we do need to be careful, and because we can't say, this doesn't mean that God's not all-powerful. Well, why did God create man if he knew man was going to corrupt his perfect earth? Because God gives us the ability to choose. Now, there are some out there that like to say that we don't have the ability to choose, but if we didn't have the ability to choose, there wouldn't be evil, or God would be responsible for evil. God gives us the ability to choose. And because we have the ability to choose, that's why the world's so bad. We need to understand just how bad the world has become so that we can understand why God called Noah to build a boat. And as we look and see how bad the world was, we can also see how good God is. So we see how bad the world is. The world was really bad because God created this beautiful, perfect world but man corrupted it because man chose to disobey God. Man chose to do what God said don't do. This allowed sin to enter into the world. And so now sin has become so rampant that God is ready to destroy the earth and start over. But what we see the goodness of God because of Noah. Just because the world is bad does not mean that we have to live like the rest of the world. Like Noah, we can choose to live for God when the rest of the world stands in opposition. Sometimes we like to think, well, we just need to blend in with the world. No, we don't. Because we're going to see that Noah didn't blend in with the world, and Noah is the one that was spared. And so one man chose what was right. God comes to Noah because he found favor with the Lord. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 says, Noah, however, found favor with the Lord. With the corrupt nature of the world, Noah had found favor. And as we think about this, when we look at the world, how bad is the world that God is ready to destroy the entire world except for one man and some of his family? Noah helps us to see that we can live for God no matter how bad the world gets. And so I want to encourage you with that this morning, because when we look at our world today, we're like, man, this world is getting bad. That should not change the way we live for Jesus. No matter how bad this world gets, no matter how crazy it gets, no matter how corrupt it gets, no matter how violent it gets, that should not change the way that the people of God live for God, because we are called to live for God the same way every day, all the time, no matter what. And so we should still be on fire for God no matter what. We should still be living for Jesus no matter what. One pastor says, obedience in the midst of evil should be the supreme goal and desire of God's people. When we look at how bad the world is, we should desire to be the good that it sees. When we look at how bad the world is, we should be the ones to say, hey, let me show you how good my God is. Let me show you how much my God loves you. God has called his people out to live for him, regardless of what the world says or does. Our relationship with Jesus should never be based upon the status of the world. Our relationship with Jesus should not be based on what's happening in the news. Shouldn't be based on what's happening around us. It should be based on our time spent with Jesus. Hebrews 11 tells us that by faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen, and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. When the people of God are given the choice between right and wrong, we are to choose what is right, even if it's a hard decision. The world is corrupt. One man stands out, and God says to that man, build me a boat. And as we look through verses 13 through 17, we see this command to build a boat. And the first thing that we see is God tells Noah what he's about to do. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And so God says, all right, Noah, you found favor in my sight, so I'm going to tell you what I'm about to do. Imagine being the one that gets this news from God. God shows up and says, Noah, I'm going to destroy everything. Imagine hearing that God was going to destroy the whole earth and only save Noah and his family. Now, I don't know if you guys ever realized this before, but as I was working on this week, God revealed something really cool to me that I've never thought of before. Notice that the text says that those that went into the boat was Noah, his wife, his sons, and his sons' wives. Genesis 5:30 says, Lamech, who was Noah's dad, lived 595 years after he fathered Noah, and he fathered other sons and daughters. Noah had brothers and sisters, and they didn't get on the ark. Noah had nieces and nephews. Noah had other family. So when we say Noah and his family was saved, it was only part of his family. The world was, can you imagine if somebody came to you, if God showed up and says, I'm going to destroy the whole world, but only you and your immediate family is going to be saved. Now, some people are close to their brothers and their sisters and their nieces and their nephews. But as we see here in the text, they don't get on the boat. You ever think of that before? And so what we have, God shows up and says, I'm going to destroy the whole earth and just a few of you is going to be saved. Due to the corrupt nature of the world, God decides that the time for punishment has come. God is a loving and patient God, but a time comes when our good God will punish those who do not follow after him. He tells Noah that he's going to punish man and the earth. This is what's interesting. Not only does God show up and say, Noah, I'm going to destroy man because of man's wickedness, but I'm going to destroy the earth. And this is a reminder to you and I that our sins don't just affect us. Often we think, well, it's just my sin. It ain't hurting anybody else. That's not true. God is about to destroy the entire earth because of the wickedness of man. One commentary says this: nature is intimately connected with mankind. This has been seen in the previous scriptures. Adam was made from the earth. The earth was cursed because of Adam's sin, and the blood of Abel cried out from the earth. Now, the depravity of mankind had so corrupted the earth that it must be destroyed completely. God calls to Noah, tells him what he's about to do, and says to him, build a boat. It hasn't rained on the earth yet. It's not rained. God says, build me a boat. And Noah's probably like, what? There's been no rain. And so God says, build me a big boat. And so as we look at the blueprints for the boat, we see God's attention to detail. And this is what's really awesome. We need to understand that our God is a God in the details. God gives very specific instructions to Noah about what he is going to do. He tells Noah exactly what he's going to do. He tells Noah how he's going to do it. He gives Noah specific instructions, and he tells him exactly how to build the boat. First, he says, make it out of gopher wood. Well, I remember growing up as a kid thinking, I've never seen a gopher make wood. But what has happened is, we don't know what that Hebrew word means. Gopher is the actual Hebrew word. And since they don't know what it is in modern English, they just keep it the same. It's not gopher as we would think of the little critter. It could have been cypress. It could have been pine. It could have been some other kind of wood. But God, the people, Noah would have known what it was. And so God tells him the specific wood he wants him to use. He says, make lots of room. The word room literally means nests. Well, what do animals have? They have nests. And so God says, okay, I want you to build it out of this wood and make sure there's many nests. So he's getting ready for all the animals that he's going to have Noah bring along. He says, I want it to be 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits. A cubit is about 18 inches. The way they measured it was from your elbow to the tip of your middle finger. That was a cubit. And so it was about 18 inches. So that would have been 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. To help us to understand, there's a football field has 100 yards, so that would be 300 feet. So the ark is 1.5 football fields long. That's a pretty big boat. And he says, put in windows and give it three levels. And so as we look at this, we see very specific details that God has given to Noah on the building of the boat. And then we see specific details of what would happen. I'm going to bring a flood. The flood's going to destroy the earth, and everything with breath will die. Think of how high the flood would have to be and how much water would be needed in order to destroy all birds from the earth, to cover all the mountains and scatter across the entire globe. Okay, this flood that God was going to bring was going to cover the tallest mountains. It was going to cover the entire earth and cause every bird to die. That is the power of our God. God gives Noah specific instructions as to how to build this boat, and God gives us specific instructions of how we are to build our lives in faith around Him. You know that you and I have very detailed instructions on how we are to build our lives? It's called the Bible. God gives us everything that we need to know how to build our lives. Just as God showed up to Noah and says, I want you to build a boat, here's the instructions, here's the blueprints. God looks at you and me and says, I want you to build your lives around my son, Jesus Christ, and here's your blueprints. And so God says, I'm bringing total destruction upon the earth, but there's one of my favorite words in Scripture, but. Look at verse 18. First, let's look at 17 again. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth, to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you. This is incredible. God makes a covenant with Noah. I am bringing total destruction, but in the midst of the gloom and doom, we see hope. When it comes to our great and awesome God, there is always hope. No matter how bad the world gets, no matter how bad our lives get, no matter how corrupt the world gets, no matter how evil the world gets, no matter how violent the world gets, there is always hope because God is God and God is on His throne. And when God is God, there will always be hope. God says, I will establish my covenant with you. I might be about to destroy the entire earth. Everything that has the breath of life in it might be about to die. But Noah, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And so we see the promise of the covenant. God makes a covenant with Noah. Even as we see destruction, we see the care of God. He makes sure that the way the ark is built is able to sustain the animals that will be brought along. He makes sure that they have enough food for Noah, Noah's family, and all the animals. He makes sure the boat can handle the storm that is about to come. God makes all the provisions of protection that Noah and his family needs to survive this flood that's about to come. We see that God has called out to Noah. He has given to Noah all that he needs to be successful. When God calls out, God equips. God will not call you and I to do something and then not give us the ability to do it. That's one of the reasons why when God lays something on your heart that needs to be done and you come to me and say, we need to be doing this, I'm always like, okay, get it started. Because if God laid it on your heart, He wants you to be a part of it. Because when God calls out to us, He equips us and gives us exactly what we need. But at the same time, He also asks us to do something. God told Noah what He wanted Noah to do. God gave him the blueprints and the specific instructions, but God didn't build the boat. Noah had to do something. Noah actually had to build the boat. Sometimes we like to sit around and be like, well, if God wants me to do this, He's just going to have to do it. Well, God done told you to do it, so now get up and do it. Amen. Noah had to build the boat. Notice that God will enter into a covenant with Noah. And this is not a contract, it's a covenant. There's a difference. And the covenant that God would give would protect and provide for Noah and his family as the rest of the world drowns. And think about that. God enters into a covenant with Noah to the point that Noah, his wife, his sons, and his sons' wives, and the animals that are with him are provided food, protected from the storm, while the entire rest of the world drowns. God will save the life of Noah, his wife, his sons, and his son's wife. God makes a covenant with his people and calls them out in obedience. And here is the heart of what we need to see as we look at this text. Noah obeyed. Verse 22, then Noah did according to all that God commanded, so he did. Noah was given a task, build a boat. Noah was told that God would be with him. And Noah did what God told him. We don't see Noah arguing, God, why do I need to build a boat that big? What's a flood? We don't see Noah saying, well, God, what about my favorite brother? Now, this sister over here, that's fine, but what about this? I like this brother. We don't see that. What we see from Noah is simple obedience. Noah followed in obedience. He trusted in the one who called out to him to build a boat. He did all that God commanded him to exist. The earth, as we know it today, exists because of the obedience of Noah. Let that sink in for a minute. You and I are here today because Noah obeyed what God called him to do. Amen. In a way, the future was saved through Noah's obedience. You know, we are saved through the obedience of the Savior on the cross. Philippians 2:8 says, talking about Jesus, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. What if Noah would not have obeyed God and built the boat? What if Jesus would not have obeyed the Father and went to the cross? Often we like to say that when we give our lives to Christ, we can do whatever we want, but the Bible calls us to obedience. As we said in Sunday school this morning, true faith produces obedience. If you don't obey God, then you don't have genuine faith. When we say we trust God, we have to live it out. It would have been easy for Noah to say, you know what, God, I trust you to protect me. But then he didn't build the boat. And then he wonders why God didn't protect him. Well, God told you to build a boat. Same way we're saved by Jesus on the cross. Jesus went to the cross, lived a perfect life, died, was buried, and rose again. That's the truth of the gospel. Because Jesus was obedient, because Jesus went to the cross, you and I have hope and salvation. We can have peace with a holy God. Noah was not perfect. When you read the life of Noah after the flood, you will see just how imperfect Noah really was. The fact that he found favor with God was not because of his actions, but because of God's grace. When God's grace hits us, we should obey. I love what one commentary says. It says, man does not earn God's grace. Man does not earn God's grace, but is to respond to it appropriately. When the grace of God hits us, we should obey. Noah both heard what God said and did what God said. Today, we need to hear what God is saying to us and we need to do it. That's what our world needs today. You know, we talk, again, we're very bad at this as Southern Baptists. And sadly, this is churches all across America. We will talk and talk and talk and talk and nothing ever gets done. How long did we talk about the add-on in the back until it actually got done? How much talk have we had about a sound system and it still ain't been done? We love to come together and talk about what needs to be done, but then we don't actually do it. When God calls us to do something, we need to do it. And we need to step out on faith, trusting that God's going to provide. Because often we're like, well, we can't do that. Well, if God's called us to do it, God's going to provide. I mean, think about this. Have you ever tried to catch a chicken? Or a pig? Can you imagine trying to catch all these animals to get them on the boat? Noah didn't have to worry about that because God provided. Finding all this wood, God provided. Well, how am I going to build this boat? Here you go. Here's your blueprints. Everything that Noah needed to be successful, God gave him. And everything that you and I need to do what God has called us to do, God will provide. And often we limit what God can do in this church because we don't trust him enough. We say we have faith in God, but, well, we can't afford that. That ain't faith! That ain't faith! Because if we can afford it, then we don't need God! Sometimes we just need to step out and say, God, that what you want us to do? All right. Because God will provide. You know, I think about these whole meal things that we've been doing. Because again, every single time that we do it, something happens. And this time I was part of that problem. Because I forgot there's something that I was supposed to bring something. But hey, the one thing that I forgot to bring, somebody else had an extra one. That's God. When God calls us to something, God will always provide. And we need to get to the point like Noah, where if God calls us to do it, let's just do it. Let's stop talking about it. That's how that praise and worship thing last Sunday came about, Sunday night, because people have been saying, hey, I'd like to see some more praise and worship. I'd like to see some more praise and worship. And we've talked about it, we've beat it, and we've talked about it, and we talked about it. So let's stop talking and start doing. And so, starting tonight, we're going to do some praise and worship songs out of the hymnal every Sunday night before we go into the Bible study. We're going to add it to our Sunday night routine. It's not going to be a whole service of music like it was last Sunday, but we're going to put some in there. We're going to stop talking and start acting. Noah heard what God said, and he did it. That's where we as the people of God need to get. Noah was a man asked to build a boat before it had ever rained. He trusted what God called him to do, and he stepped out in obedience. What about us? Are we doing all that God has commanded us to do? Do we see how God has called us to live a life of faith? What is God saying to us today? Do we need to stop and look at the evil in the world and make sure we're not blending in? Maybe we're here today and we're blending in with the rest of the world. Maybe it's time for us to stop and take a look at just how bad the world is, how evil the world is, and make sure that we don't look anything like it. Do we need to get up and build a boat? Maybe it's time for us to build a boat. I'm not talking about an actual boat, but a metaphorical boat. Some of you fishermen are going to be like, yeah, Preacher said I can go build me a new boat. No, no, no. That's not what we're talking about. Whatever it is that God's called you to do. Maybe he's called you to help with Sunday school. We need some help in our Sunday school classes. Maybe God's calling you to be one of those Sunday school teachers that we need. We got all sorts of stuff. Whatever God is calling you to do, will we step up and do it? Will you build a boat? Do we need to see the love of God in his new covenant? God made a covenant with Noah, but I'm here to tell you today that there's been a new covenant. And that new covenant is established by the mediator, that who is Jesus Christ, when he shed his blood on the cross for our sins. You and I have complete and total access to God through the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross, and that's the new covenant. Through the new covenant, we are promised a home and an eternity in a place called heaven, where there will be no weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Maybe we need to be reminded of the love that God has for us. Maybe we're here today and all we see is the wicked, evil world. And we need to see the covenant that God has made for us. Whatever it is, whatever God is saying, will you let him speak to you today? I want to remind us that God has called each and every one of us out. God placed an odd call on Noah, go build a boat. And Noah simply obeyed. He trusted God to provide, and God did. He trusted God to protect, and he did. And it is incredible to see what God did through the life of Noah. In some way, every single one of us in here today is a descendant of Noah. We're alive because Noah obeyed. And those of us that have given our lives to Christ, we are saved because Jesus obeyed. So now the time has come for you and I to obey all that God is calling us to do. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful passage. I pray that you would speak to our hearts through it. I pray that if there's someone here that doesn't know you, today would be the day that they come to know you. And I pray, Lord, that you would move as only you can in our hearts and our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.